We're doing podcast stuff.
Well, there's a ping right there.
Yeah, that would be you.
Sorry.
Seatbelt number 2 is not fastened.
All right. Well.
Get in the van and put your seatbelt on.
Okay. So.
How unlike us.
Safety third, but it's on the list.
I am Twisted Cat.
I'm Patch.
And I'm Batman.
We just saw.
Really, we saw the Who.
We saw the Who.
9:36
opened for them, and Asking Alexandria came on afterward. I'm not really sure I want to talk about 9:36.
I didn't hate them, but they're seriously, that dude is egotistical. Their style of music is not particularly appealing to me. I'm not a rap rock guy. I'm just not.
Well, and his background is pure dead ahead rap. So
yeah.
Like Philly rap. I felt like they would have had a better stage dynamic if they had been on a smaller stage. There was too much room. And the backing track thing, like...
Oh, that's right.
The backing track was more than the band. I mean, it's three people. So you've got guitar,
drums,
singer, and drums.
Singer is generous.
Singer, rapper, vocalist.
Vocalist.
Let's call him a vocalist.
Vocalist.
And there is so much track.
I couldn't hear him.
You couldn't hear him half the time. It was...
I'm not 100% sure that their guitarist was actually playing anything.
I mean, I think he was. He was at least playing the instrument at times.
And the drummer was definitely playing.
Yeah. But they were on a huge stage. But also, so the vocalist is running around all over the place. He's up in the front. He's going here and there and back and forth. But not with any sort of rhyme or reason or any method or anything behind it. He's just kind of wandering the stage. The guitar player is on a wireless, but he has not moved more than 2 feet from his microphone left or right. He backs up a number of times and gets 5 or 6 feet back from it and then comes back up to the front. So he's not tethered to anything, but he doesn't move. And he's on one side of probably a 40-foot stage. The drummer is on the other side of the 40-foot stage. And it's just this empty space in between.
Well, and he seemed like he was in a bad mood. Zero seemed like he was in a bad mood. Like, every time he talked to the crowd...
His name... The band isn't 0936. His name is 0936.
Yes.
Yeah.
He apparently changed his name...
From Zero.
What's that?
His moniker was Zero for a very long time, but when he got picked up by his current management, he changed it to 0936.
Apparently, his name is emblematic of the time that he was born.
Okay.
From reading the internet.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Go him.
The big thing that was pointed out at the end of his set was that, as far as I'm concerned, his mid-stage banter needs some serious work no matter what.
Well, and he seemed like he was in a bad mood.
He seemed in a bad mood. He was...
It's the last night of the tour.
Doing some weird, like, self-deprecating sort of humor thing that just didn't really fall well at all. And then ends up talking about how, A, he's, you know, they got one more song left, so he can just go home. But he's going to go out to the merch table first and hang out if anybody actually, you know, cares or wants to come out and, you know, say hi or, you know, buy some stuff. Because if you don't buy stuff, he's just going to have to take it home. And then he's going to the show of another band who is playing tonight, and name drops another band that is not on the tour that he is on at another venue somewhere, and is saying he's going there. Anybody else have those plans?
Yeah.
And during his entire set, even when he was leaving, he never mentioned the other two bands that he was playing with on this 5-month tour.
Yeah.
Like, not, hey, give it up for the Who. Hey, give it up for Asking Alexandria. So, you know, really, fuck that guy. Fuck him in his neck. I got no time.
And then there was the Who.
God, the Who.
so fucking good.
They are amazing. I came to a realization which may have been a little late. Maybe everybody else already knows this, but I figured out tonight, holy fuck, Klingons are based on Mongolians.
Yes.
And then I looked around the crowd at the number of heavyset white guys with neck beards. And went, oh my god, I wonder if they're fans because this fills Klingon metal space in their heads, whether consciously or unconsciously. Yeah, wow, that was a little weird in my head. But anyway, The Who is fucking amazing. They're so good.
Like, out of all of the bands that we ever see, they are one of the few that do not need a song or two to warm up.
No.
We'll start there.
They're on. Get it done.
Yeah.
And they played a song tonight that I had not heard previously that they dedicated to indigenous people all over the world, specifically, especially the Maori, and to the people of Maui who have been through the wildfires, and it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I mean, like, I've got nothing to say. They're fucking great.
I love The Who. They do this just driving beat.
Yeah.
It's just this hard, steady, just driving it into you.
Sorry.
Oh, there's the beep. Okay. And it's just, it's between the heavy, like, just bass beat drum and the, you know, then bass guitar driven stuff with all of the,
well, and their two string drone. And their
vocal
drone.
Oh, yeah.
There's so a lot of drone. Amazing. It's very good.
Yeah, a lot it of is, bottom it end. It makes me very happy. So anyway, they were brilliant as always.
As far as I can tell, a number of them from the last time we've seen them have got new instruments. The arrow guitar thing, the bow and arrow guitar analog. He has a new instrument. He's got something different than he's been playing previously.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure at least the red horsehead fiddle is different. The blue is close enough. If it is different, it's close enough to his previous instrument.
Mm.
It could be the same. It could be different. I don't know.
I mean, this is officially the biggest room we've seen them in, because we've seen them four or five times now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also the furthest away we've ever been from them.
True.
So,
but no, I mean, there was distinctive different shapes in the instruments.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. It's been a while.
I think
the last time we saw them was that weird thing in San Diego.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, yeah, huh.
Which was at least a year ago, if not more.
But yeah, it was post-quarantine, so. Yeah.
But yeah, they put on a great show. Amusingly, as always, they don't really speak English, but he has picked up enough concert lingo to, you know, pigeon out some
Los English.
Los Angeles!
We love you!
You're amazing!
Who loves asking Alexandria? Yeah.
And good.
I was actually impressed. For the first time, they were speaking more in Mongolian.
Yes.
To the audience, which I have not seen them do before.
That may be because there's a heavy Mongolian presence in Los Angeles.
Oh, sure.
Right, but I saw more Mongolians in the crowd than I've ever seen before.
I mean,
there's always been a few
Mongolians and indigenous peoples, and they bring out that crowd. And Lord knows, we've seen them a number of times in L.A. with, you know, pretty heavily ethnic crowds.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a change in their.
I'm all for it.
I love it. I don't speak Mongolian, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
One of the things I've said about them for quite some time is they've been doing a bunch of releases on, like, Octane and these singles that they're putting out, and these videos and everything that are great, but they're always a collab with an English-speaking artist of some sort who is singing over their stuff. Translated in English, and they're great, and I get why they're doing it. They're opening that world up, and they're getting more appeal to an American audience by not just singing in Mongolian, but honestly, I much prefer their pure Mongolian lyrics to everything, because like Black Thunder, I Am Mongol, you know, the older songs of Yuva Yuva Yu and Wolf Totem. They have all of these songs with an English counterpart on there. And I just don't like them as much as the original pure in Mongolian that I have no idea what they're saying.
I agree.
And I don't care because it's awesome.
I do like the collab they did with Lizzie Hale. But
yes, because we love Lizzie.
I would love to see, we've been talking about this for a while, but I don't think we've ever said it on the podcast. I would love to see them do a collab with Alien Weaponry.
Yes.
All in indigenous language.
Yes, this shit writes itself. They need to be working
together.
Oh
my God.
I mean, especially since the song that they did that was dedicated to indigenous peoples, Maori called out by specific, had a very Maori vibe to it. There was a lot of like Haka type cadences in that song.
Well, I think that was 100% intentional.
Oh yeah,
sure.
But it's not present in their usual songs, their usual music.
Yeah.
And as soon as it came on, I'm like, does this just set up that collaboration with Alien Weaponry? Because let's make it happen, people.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Two, I'm looking at you.
Right. Two.
Make it happen.
Poke him again. I poked him about this once already. So there was Asking Alexandria, who Patch and I have seen once before. And I enjoy them. I don't think that anybody should be following The Who because they're so dynamic on stage that...
The Who is so dynamic, to be clear.
Yes, yes. No, The Who is so dynamic on stage that... having anybody follow them, it's like, you know, everybody always used to refuse to follow Jimi Hendrix. Same thing.
Yeah. So, this is the second time I've seen Asking Alexandria. The first time was at a radio station festival in Arizona.
I guess we've seen them three times then.
Okay.
Because they played at the Palladium with Papa Roach and Bad Wolves.
Did they really?
Yes.
I don't remember that at all. I remember that show. I remember Papa Roach and I remember Bad Wolves.
I thought they were very good at that show. He was wearing like this very weird wool suit. And when he came out today in the parka, I'm like, oh, so he just likes overheating on stage. Okay, fine. I don't actually remember them playing the radio thing in Phoenix. Tucson, sorry. I liked them at the Palladium show.
I don't remember them at the Palladium show. So it couldn't have been bad.
See? I wasn't at either of those shows. So.
But I remember being highly disappointed by them at the Arizona show.
Okay. And they didn't register on my radar at all at the Arizona show.
Oh, we talked about them.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because they were on before Bring Me the Horizon, I think.
Right.
I love their studio work.
Yes.
I love their music. Their music is great. It's excellent.
I even love their interviews. Their interviews are really interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I have not seen their interviews, but their sound, it was like the microphone was just so muddy, and I'm like, it could be better. I don't know. And it never got fixed four or five songs in.
Yeah, we left.
And was like, okay, it's
sorry,
not,
guys.
It's not grabbing. I will say, they came out, they hit it hard. I do really like his energy on stage.
Yes, he's very energetic.
He's very energetic, and especially his between songs, hype up the crowd, everything else, has got a very Brent Smith Shinedown vibe.
Yeah,
because
I see
He's sure. using a lot of those same cadences of crowd control and talking to people like they're here and not just giving them orders and do this, do that. It's, you know, bringing people in.
Right.
He's got that same vibe, I think.
Sure. Yeah,
and I like it.
I agree that their sound was not right. Like the vocals were really really high, like loud. They, you know, you could hear them very clearly, but they were, I guess you couldn't hear them clearly, but cuz they were, the microphone was wrapped in a wool sock or something. And then all I could hear other than vocals was the drum kit. And not even the playing of the bass, just the vibration of the bass in everything around. So there were two guitars, and I couldn't hear either one of them.
I could. Maybe it was your earplugs?
Maybe?
I don't know. But I mean, I could also differentiate between the lead singer's vocals and the lead guitarist's vocals.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like the lead guitarist is a much better, clean vocalist.
Yes. I think he just doesn't want to be on stage, which is
they
why
they had him corralled off next to the drum kit with a fence in the front of him.
Yeah. I'm positive, because I've seen Breaking Benjamin do the same thing. I've seen Ben hide. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he was just hiding.
Yes, and I mean, yes, I get it. You've got your clean vocalist and you've got your, you know, crunchy vocalist. But even the stuff that he's doing that is not crunchy, it just sounds muffled. He's screaming into the mic, he's doing the, you know, the growl voice. But even that, even the stuff that should be clean, that I know he's singing because I've heard their stuff on the radio, and it's nice and clean and sounds good, and this literally sounds like he was singing through a wool sock.
Yeah, I'm really getting done with music venues in Los Angeles.
Mm.
No one cares except me.
Yeah.
And it makes me angry. Actually, this place right here is the best sound that I've ever been to.
He's pointing at a map and he says it's the 720
Club? 1720
Club?
It is in the sketchiest part of downtown I've ever fucking been to.
Okay.
I went and saw an EDM show there. I can talk to you about it when we're not recording a podcast. But the sound there was so fucking good.
Cool. Well, our next two shows are at YouTube, so the sound will be better.
Okay. That's right. We're going to see Baby Metal.
Yes.
And Deathlock.
And we're also going to see Janelle Monáe. You guys will be very confused by us. It'll be great.
Yeah, I'm excited about both of those shows.
Yeah. And then we've got a little bit of a break before Static X and Seven Dust.
Did we actually decide we were going to that?
I bought tickets, so I hope we did.
Oh.
Anyway, we're going to go find food. I've been Twisted Cat.
And I'm Patch.
I'm still Batman.
Get in the van! We're doing podcast stuff!